When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You say the game is getting old, Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you...
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and we have a great show for you. Listen, we've had this man on our show before. His name is Nir Bashan and his book is entitled The Creator Mindset. And let me just say something about this book, okay? There has been a quote that he had in this book, and it's been a few years since we had him on, but there's a quote in this book that I use every day with my clients. I use it in my own life. I use it when I talk to businesses. I use it when I talk to people in real life, and it's this. There is no problem that creativity cannot solve. I do not know how otherwise to simply sum up this book except to say this, that everybody is getting caught up into the world of artificial intelligence, believing that that somehow is going to make you more creative, or that is can be replace our own creativity. But the fact of the matter is it just makes us lazy. Because AI is not going to solve your problem. It's not. It cannot connect as one human can connect with another. It cannot emote as one human emotes with another. It cannot have a soul or a spirit that we connect with each other in a way that creativity does between human beings. And my friend Nir Bashan is going to join us today. And we're going to talk about the creator mindset, part two. Because we're going to dig into some other areas that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the other things, some stuff we did talk about before, but we're going to talk about some things. We're going to pull some things out about creativity that you need to know that are going to help you in your life and your business. But before we get to him, let's do what we do every week. We're four-part people. We're physical, mental, emotional, spiritual people. Listen, we have to be working on those areas every day because the fact of the matter is if we are not growing, we're dying because we don't stay static. And we need to be creative, actually, in our physical, mental, and emotional, spiritual being, right? Because things do get stale from time to time. If you've ever been to work out, like I love to work out, I have to do things. I've got to change it up. It's what keeps me engaged. It's what keeps me in it, right? So here's how we do this. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, 10 being, couldn't get any better. 5 being average. How would you say you're doing physically? And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. If you were to evaluate yourself, getting enough exercise, eating right, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, how would you say? What would be that number? By the way, if your number's low, don't get alarmed. That's your starting point. If it's a 2, we're not trying to jump to a 10. Let's just try to get to 2.5 to 3. Right? And make that change. All right, that's your first number. Second number is the mental intellectual number. Think creativity's got something to do with that? I think so. Right? But you know what? You have to be an active participant in your learning and growth. And by the way, you know what Nir is going to say to you? Creativity is something you can learn. We all can learn it. You say, well, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Wrong. You do. Nir is going to help you unleash it. So what are you doing? How are you doing? You know, growing in your knowledge and understanding of yourself, the world around you, your job. A scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you're doing mentally, intellectually? All right? That's your second number. Third number is emotional. You know, and the fact of the matter is, you know, it's interesting whenever you're creative. Like whenever I'm sitting down at my guitar or my piano, and I'm sitting down and I'm thinking creatively and I'm trying to work myself through, you know, a new piece or something that I haven't played before, you know, what's interesting is how my emotions get attached to my own creativity. It's interesting, isn't it? Right? Now, it's not the only thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, there's a lot of confusion here that art is creativity and it's that's now. It's not, but it's a part of it. How do you feel? What do you, so we break it down this way. You know, when it comes to stress and pressure, how well are you able to control your emotions? By the way, you know what? Your ego can get in the way of creativity. You know who said that? Nier says that, right? We got to control our ego, right? We got to look out for that. But you know what else happens if our emotions get too intense? We could get so focused we aren't open to the possibilities around us to be creative, right? So that's the first part. Second part is, how well are you able to tap into the emotions of other people, right? Which requires listening. You think listening is important to creativity? Oh gosh. To a creator mindset? Of course it is. We got to learn. We got to be in a constant mode of learning. That's where, how do we get into that creator mode? Right? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you're doing emotionally? And then finally, spiritually. You know, I know a lot of you say, you know, you don't know. Well, here's the deal. We are spiritual beings. Remove the physical, mental, and emotional. What do you got left? You may think that's nothing. That's not true. We have something left because we connect with each other on a spiritual level. There, we goes beyond the senses, right? And you know, when it comes down to life, we all live by faith. You woke up this morning, you pushed the button in your car, believed it was going to start. You drank your cup of coffee, sipped it, believing it wasn't poisonous. The walk sign said walk. You believed that people weren't going to hit you as you were crossing the walk lane. We all live by faith. You make plans for the future, believing they're going to happen. We live by faith. And then what brings you back to center in chaos, in the midst of your chaos? Is it God? Is it nature? Is it meditation? Is it something else? And is it working for you? Right? Those four areas, like the air in the tires of your car. If one tire is too low, the car veers, and it's very difficult for you to be able to maneuver the car. By the same token, if the car has all four tires low, what's going to happen? Well, the car is going to eventually get ruined, and we don't want to do that. And speaking of someone who's got air in his tires, all the right height, that he's rolling down the route smoothly, his name is Nir Bashan. He is a world-renowned creativity expert. He has taught thousands of leaders and individuals around the globe how to harness the power of creativity to improve profitability, increase sales, and ultimately create more meaning in their work. He has spent the last 2 decades working on a formula to codify creativity. That formula is found in the creator mindset, which has been translated into two languages, at least, that I'm aware of. He was one of the youngest professors ever selected to teach graduate courses at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, and also taught undergraduate courses at the University of California at Los Angeles. He's worked on numerous albums, movies, advertisements, famous actors ranging from Rod Stewart to Woody Harrelson. His work on creativity has won a Clio Award, was nominated for an Emmy. He's the CEO and founder of the Creator Mindset LLC, and he speaks. By the way, I just want to tell you something. I've listened to him speak. If you are someone who brings speakers into your corporation like AT&T did or Microsoft has or Ace Hardware has or the NFL Network has done, you want to put him on your docket, okay? Because he's that great. So listen, I'm not going to talk anymore about him because he's awesome. We got to get to him. His name is Nir Bashan. Nir, welcome back to A New Direction. It's great to have you back, brother.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, I appreciate it. And congratulations on all the success you've had. This show has just been like a rocket ship into a successful journey. And it could not have happened to a better person. These successes are incredible.
Thank you. Well, thank you for being back on. I think it's really important that you help some folks understand, talk about creativity in a little bit different way, because that's what you do. Because one of the things you talk about in the introduction is that you say the fact remains that the vast majority of people today are operating at half their potential. And a vast majority of companies are operating at the half of their potential. And most go out of business within the first 5 years. Your answer to all of this is creativity. Help us meet our potential, whether it's individual, whether we're an entrepreneur, whether a business. Help us get there. And how did we get here?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty bad. I mean, the situation is that most businesses today are not living up to their full potential. Most people in careers are not getting where they need to go. And time after time, when you look into it, it isn't, a spreadsheet that, should have predicted this or that. It's not a job practice or a tool or education that you need to pick up in order to, manipulate a piece of software in a better or more efficient way. It is time and time again the implementation and the use of creativity and innovation in everything that we do. Now, you were 100% right. Earlier you said that there is no problem that exists in humanity today that cannot be solved without using creativity. I 100% agree with that. It is that important for me to help people around the world, and especially at companies, associations, different groups that I speak with, to realize how to use that creativity, how to spark it in order to solve problems that are in front of them, not only in their careers, but also in their lives.
Mm. All right. So you divide this book up into different parts, sections, and then you have chapters within it. The first part of this book is what is the creator mindset? And when I read this part, it's like I'm hearing you say, all right, I want you to think about creativity in a little bit different way. In terms of a creator mindset, because I think what we do is we think of creativity as being this thing that we do, but we're saying the creator mindset. Mm-hmm. Help us bridge that gap.
It's a whole different thing, right? So a lot of people think creativity is working on a website or being an artist or a dancer or a painter or somebody who's makes sculpture or something like that. But that is only one tiny sliver of the entirety of creative venture, right? And even though it's familiar, right, we're like, oh, an artist, they're creative. We're missing out on 99% of the creative potential when we only focus on one implementation of creativity. So we need to expand our recognition of creativity outside of the traditional arts in order to embrace the tools that creativity gives us to solve problems at work.
So, I come from a psychology background.
Mm-hmm.
We often talk about hemisphere specialization in terms of right brain, left brain, and that type of thing. And of course, we have a corpus callosum that kind of bridges that gap between the two hemispheres. So when we talk about creativity, we make it a right brain thing. And we make the logical part of us the left brain thing. But there seems to be a situation now in business where business is left brained and not right brained at all. And if you're right brained, you're probably in marketing. And so we segmentize business based on our halves of our brain. You're not seeing it that way.
Absolutely not. I'm seeing a lot of people in traditional analytical field benefiting incredibly from a approach to work which has a creator mindset, right? So people in accounting, I speak to a lot of accounting groups, accounting association, auditing association, financial services, because these are the people that need to hear this type of message that, yes, there is a pathway and, yes, there is regulatory process to follow. But that individual's ability to look at that report, to see those numbers in a couple of different ways, to reach conclusions that are indeed creative, that are indeed innovative, is incredibly important, not only for their careers, but for our society. We want people to think beyond just a very low-hanging logic, because I believe, Coach Jay, that every single human being on Earth has that spark of amazing transformation. And what they choose to do with that, I'm selfish about it, because I want them to get out in the world and use that spark in order to make my life better, right? Whether it's an innovation that they create, that I would encounter in my day-to-day, or it's some kind of, great innovation in their field that affects me in some way, it's a selfish journey, right? I want the world to become better, and I want people to live up to their potential. And every single time, in every single study that we've done, and we've done tons of them, we find time and time again that it is not training that they are lacking. It's not schooling that we need more of. It's not, you know, some external force or whatever. It is simply our choice that we make every day to say, you know what, forget about that creativity stuff. Oh, the analytics, that's really serious stuff, you know? Look at my pivots on Excel. Like, this is amazing, right? Look, oh, you know, it shows how I have a mastery of the numbers. But it's avoiding literally the willingness to embrace a sense of creativity, by the way, which we all had as children, but somewhere along the line, it kind of stops. We were all creative as kids, and then somewhere it just kind of goes away. So we need to reclaim that sense of creativity that we had when we were younger, and then we need to be free to apply that at work, to take a risk on a couple of those ideas at work. And through that process, we will see incredible benefit in our day-to-day environment at work. We just need to do it.
You know, it's interesting because you're kind of leading me into that chapter three of training your, basically training your mind to think in a creative way. And as I was rereading the book and I was going through it again, and you talk about, you know, as adults, we've forgotten how to do it. What is the training regimen that we need to start putting together in order to become, to create, to really have that creator mindset?
Yeah. So it's little things that you do every day. I'll give you a couple of examples of very basic sort of things that take you away from analytics and help you balance out the creative and the analytics. Okay. One of them is an email, right? You and I both get 200-400 emails a day. I looked at my calendar when, you know, we're trying to schedule the show, and I am double booked most of the day, right? I had like a 15-minute opening, and that, like, I grayed that over and went to the bathroom. So, you know, my staff can find me. It, you know, they're like, okay, it's bathroom time, right? And I'm sure your listeners are like, yep, 100%. Like, right, there's right. No time. It's 9, 8:30, 7:30 now. People are scheduling early and late because there's no time in the traditional 9 to 5. I mean, I have stuff today until 7:30 East Coast time. Like, that's ridiculous, right? What are we doing here, right? So in order to implement that creativity, start to look at your calendar, right? And look at those emails. You got the bulk of emails going out, and you got this calendar that's double filled. And what I tell people to do is to open up your Outlook, open up your scheduling software, whichever it is that you use. Pick a day next week. Doesn't have to be, just pick a random day. Let's say it's Tuesday. Pick Tuesday. And go in there and schedule out a half hour, right? I know you don't have it open. I don't have it open either. But schedule out a half hour on top of something else. And then call it MT or me time or whatever. Coach Jay, some people share calendars so you could see, you know, call it interview with MT or conference call with, you know, it's all about me time, right? When we make a certain amount of me time every week on a regular basis, what we do is we give ourselves time to process to become creative. If we're accountants, then it gives us time to look at that last report that we made and go, is that the right thing? But we are all going in, you know, hyper speed and moving at an incredible rate that we forget to allow ourselves time to process ideas, to dream about things, to have a moment where we can think about what it is that we want to do. Why are we doing this in the first place? Why am I a dentist? I just spoke to a dental group and I told them some of the work that they do. It's incredible. I mean, you know, they keep people healthy and eating and all of the amazing benefit that you get from having proper dental care. And I said, when was the last time any of you thought about it? Put your hand up. And I'm speaking to, you know, what is it, 200 or 300 people, Coach Jay, not one person raised their hand. I'm like, you guys haven't thought about what it is you're doing in society to help people. And they're like, you know, you get a couple like stragglers that are like embarrassed because nobody raised their hand. So they were like, oh, yeah, me, I guess. I said, guys, take a half hour. Think about what it is that you're doing. Right. Think about that difficult patient. Right. They're like, oh, you know, who has time for that? Well, you got to make time for that. Right. Because when you make time, you then introduce creativity, the very basic little spark of it. You kind of say, okay, cool. I'm going to take a half hour out of my week every week to focus in on creativity. Then the following week, you take an hour. Then the following week, you take an hour and a half. And you'll find a good balance for yourself as you kind of practice this thing. But you will see that every week, if you allow yourself time to have ideas, to think, to write on a post-it note or to, you know, doodle ideas of just let your mind wander or take that half hour, an hour, go outside for a walk or do something other than work. Yeah. I promise you, you will come up with creativity just by doing that basic thing. So, Coach Jay, it is a series of all of these little tiny kind of activities that you do. You put them together, and pretty soon you'll be the most creative person in your field.
His name's Nir Bashan. The book is entitled The Creator Mindset. I told you he was so good. I told you he was so good. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, whether you're recovering from an injury, surgery, suffering everyday aches and pains, having difficulty performing activities of daily living, maybe you're unable to perform athletic activities because you're an athlete and you just want to improve, the elite team at Epic Physical Therapy will provide you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. So when you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, epic results, don't look any further. Go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Lindacraft Team Realtors, for more than 39 years, they've been helping people transition in life. You go, whoa, wait. I thought they were real estate. Yeah. Think about it. Every place you've ever lived has been a life transition. They know how to take the stress out of that part of the transition. You know what? They've been doing it successfully 39 years. You should check them out, whether you're buying your next home, selling your home, whatever it may be. Start with Lindacraft Team Realtors. That's lindacraft.com, LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend, colleague, fellow speaker, coach. He does it all. His name's Nir Bashan. The book is entitled The Creator Mindset. Fabulous book. Folks, I've written a 5-star Amazon review on this book. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a little jumpstart in your business, get yourself a copy. Get a hold of Nir. It's going to make a change. I'm just telling you it is, because it's changed me. I'm just telling you, this book has changed me. Nir, I want to say something as backing up to something that you just said. I thought it was interesting. I've been reading recently. It's weird how sometimes you read the same thing over and over again. And I was reading where Warren Buffett spends 80% of his time reading and basically creating and trying to be creative, and only spends 20% of his day actually doing anything, which I found to be extraordinarily interesting, because we consider him to be one of the most successful people out there. But it sounds like he's taking that, what you just talked about before the break, he's taking that to a level where he's really trying to, even at 90, whatever he is, 90, whatever, trying to be creative. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
100%. We spend our entire lives trying to justify our hours to our boss, or justify our presence to that particular account or whatever, through analytical means, right? And the whole 8-hour workday started in the Industrial Revolution. It wasn't like always like this. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, 8 hours a day, you know, that's been forever. No, it's like been barely 150 years, barely. And so there is no correlation between how many hours a particular employee works or you working and having some creativity or some efficiency or some, you know, job done for that particular analytical time. And what Warren Buffett is doing is he's saying that the time that he's spending reading is the time that he's investing in himself. It's investing in his knowledge, and his particular approach gives him that ability to take action. We need to start to differentiate between action taking and research or inspiration or time off or any of those things in order to understand that you don't need to be sitting in front of a computer with 400 emails that you and I both have in order to be doing work. Beautiful. Work can be done in those hour spaces, hour and a half, 2 hour spaces. That is the real work that you'll uncover, not emailing people and doing all of the busy work that appears on a spreadsheet as real work. It is those moments in between, those half hours, those hours that you take to yourself that help you develop those ideas that are worthwhile pursuing in the first place.
Mm, beautifully said. Chapter 4 is entitled The Trinity of Creativity, and you say something here that just blows my mind every time I hear it, because I know that people associate creativity in this way. You said the worst myth is that creativity relies on inspiration. And then you give us the 3 points of the Trinity of Creativity. So talk about that, and then walk us through why this Trinity of Creativity is so important.
So a lot of people approach creativity by thinking that it is something that they get inspired, right? They, I get my ideas while I shower every other Wednesday or whatever, or something like that. But creativity is a practice. You actually have to actively practice it, right? Taking time in your schedule is one of them. I've got a lot of other ideas of how to activate creativity, but you need to practice it in order to get where you want to go. And the Trinity of Creativity is really a breakdown of the granularity of an idea from its concept to the execution. And what ends up happening is most people spend all of their lives in the execution phase, where they don't look up and see, well, why am I doing this in the first place? It's the same question that I put to the dentist, like, who here has even thought about their value to society of what they do? Nobody raised their hand. People are there filling, cavities and doing bridges and dental work, right? They're so focused working in their business but not working on it. And so we need to start to look a little bit up and find what the idea is behind what we're doing and what the overall encompassing theory is behind why it is that we're doing what we're doing. And what we find, Coach Jay, when we actually look at our careers, I don't believe there's anybody in any career or job that's there by accident. I believe everything right. happens for a reason. And, you know, the reason that totally you're good. Coaching and hosting this amazing, incredibly successful show, and the reason that, you know, that guy works at Dunkin' Donuts is 100% predetermined, right? I don't believe anybody falls into something. You're there for a reason, right? You do a good job with customers. They like that you remember their coffee orders or whatever. And it's a big deal to me that we understand that that is important. Now, that being said, those specific executions of what you do is where people stay all day. Well, you know, I work at Dunkin'. I'm a dentist. Well, why are you a dentist? And once you start to understand those things in a global sense, you start to embed creativity in solutions that you need. You are a dentist and you want to expand to another office. And you tell me, Nir, I can't expand to another office because I'm here all day. I work 10 hours and I'm just grinding, you know, helping patients and do that thing. I have no time to expand. I ask you, well, why are you doing this in the first place? And you say, well, my great-grandfather came over from this country and, you know, he went to dental school. He started an amazing practice just because he wants to touch people and I want to honor his legacy. Okay, cool. Well, how do we honor his legacy by opening up another store? Oh, that's interesting. You know, maybe it's this idea or that idea. It is completely individually sort of tailored based on why it is that you're doing what you're doing. Creativity that's unique to us as our DNA. And every single practice of creativity is going to look different, right? So you can't just practice creativity without knowing why it is that you're doing what you're doing in the first place. And then looking at what you're doing in the first place on a higher level, on using that sort of trinity of creativity and going, I'm doing this to honor, you know, my great grandfather and the amazing people that he touched. Okay, cool. Maybe it is opening another location and having students there, because that's what your grandfather did, and it's a teaching dental place. Or maybe, you know, you work with the city and you do kind of a half pay from the city, the patients half pay. Or maybe you say, oh, I'm going to open up a new practice and it's going to be 100% no PPO. Don't ask me how I know this. I work with dentists a lot. No PPO. It's going to be subscriber only. Right. Why? Because my grandfather would have loved that vision and he just wanted to help people that didn't have insurance. Blows my mind. Let's do it. Why aren't we doing it, right? We can't come up with creativity unless we understand why it is that we're doing what we're doing.
You're so good, man. Seriously, you're so good. I could just shut up and just let you take over the show here, you know, and just say, okay, you know, I just do the show for the next
30 minutes. Oh, stop it.
For the next 30 minutes. You are really good. I'm serious. Okay, part two of the book is Why the Creator Mindset and Why Now? And in particular, chapter five is The Brain and Heart on a Collision Course of Prosperity. And I want to go to a particular section here because we're operating in this world like we have never operated before, and that is in the world of artificial intelligence. And you say, look, scientists have been working with artificial intelligence computers since the dawn of computing. Absolutely true. When I was in graduate school in psychology and I was taking my cognitive psych classes, you know, I remember, you know, AI, and that's been a long time ago, by the way, right? And by the way, we changed the analogy from the homunculus, you know, the little man in the brain and the train, to what? We changed it to a computer. Our brain operates like a computer, and we're going to be able to figure it out. But you say the computer is not good at replicating the creative side of the brain at all. In fact, even at our turned down volume of creativity, a computer still isn't a match. So help the people who are bowing to the god of AI and need to be turned on to creativity. Help them. Help them, Nir. Please help them.
Yeah. So listen, everyone, see, people are in love with AI these days because it is the newest, coolest tool on the block. Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember when Uber and Lyft came out, and people were like running around, you know, hands up, always doing this, you know, and like, oh, Nir, no one's ever going to own a car anymore. You're going to call this thing. It's going to pick you up. Who's ever going to need a car? You know, I remember when Photoshop came out. I'm that old. Okay. And you can kind of go in there and manipulate a picture. And people were running around doing this, you know, the head like, you know, the sky's falling. Okay, what's going on? Nobody will ever believe a picture anymore. Why? Because it's Photoshop. Photoshop will change. And, like, people believe pictures now. You know, it's like, yes, there is a new technology. Yes, it will create a certain dent in the market. And I do work with some Silicon Valley companies that do software, and I love them. Their passion's unbelievable, and their approach is novel and is super creative. The sort of other side of the coin is that it's easy to believe in a place like that what you are doing is somehow God's gift to humanity, right? And you're working with people, and you're like, okay, what are you developing? Oh, here, it's God's gift to humanity. Okay, what is it? It's an accounting software that, you know, lets you round up numbers and gives you, you know, ROMs, you know, it gives you ROMs that are closer in the actual, what your actual bid will be when you bid a job. And I'm like, change, like, humanity, like, okay, cool. Like, we've gotten a little full of ourselves. And the AI community is no different, right? And what we need to do is understand that these are just tools. Can you use those tools to become more creative? Absolutely. But those tools will never, ever, ever have the communication ability of a human being, especially the soft skill. You can't teach a computer how to have empathy towards somebody or how to recognize a throughput that is just not perceivable because it's something that is 20 or 30 years embedded into a culture. You have people practicing business from other parts of the world here in the US. I work with some of these companies, and it's incredible to me that we go to these meetings and people miss very specific cultural things because they didn't have the A team, you know, in their particular part of Norway that, you know, the rest of the room grew up with. And when someone makes a joke about, you know, the van and how it has to do with what piece of software that we're working with or technology, you know, and it goes right over their head. The point being is that a computer can never do that kind of stuff. It doesn't live in a culture. It doesn't eat, breathe communication. It doesn't live among people. The way that people work and the way that people connect is something that a computer can't replicate. And so we need to kind of stop the, you know, everything's going to be crazy with AI, and realize that we need to use it as a tool. We can't run away from it and go, oh, it's too complicated, or it's going to take my job, which lot of the people I speak to are like, oh, we're worried that it's going to take our job. It's not going to take your job. But it is going to have a role, and learning how to use it and learning how to supplement it to get results that are creative, that are innovative, is 100% a viable thing.
Yeah, this is where I think people miss the AI. Listen, I use AI for parts of the show to help me with, to help develop the show. I don't rely on it. I use it though sometimes as a starter for me, right? So it maybe it sparks something that I, or it'll give me something that I could tweak. You know, you could go to ChatGPT, right? And maybe I'll throw something up there and I'll give it a prompt, and it'll give me a list of things that I'll go, oh, this is where I need to build from. I could build from this, right? It gives me, to me, it's kind of like, okay, it's the skeleton. Now I can add the meat to the bones. That's kind of how I see it. I use, for this show, there'll be, you've seen them on Instagram and Facebook. I will take the show and I run it through what is called Opus Clips. And it will, the AI will go ahead and clip these into a minute, 30 second, minute, 2 minute little segments of this, right? Well, okay, what people don't know is it does that, but I readjust them to where I want them because I find the creative slot of it, right? Because it doesn't understand what I was, the points that you and I are trying to make, but I do know where it starts. So again, you can't be afraid of it, but it can be a useful part of what we do to stimulate more creativity, in my opinion.
100%. And it's something that we need to get in there. Part of the keynote that I'm doing now, and it's audience delivered, because audience customized, because I get people who keep asking the same questions afterward. And when I get two or three of those in a row, I go, okay, this is something we need to add. And so part of that is I show people how to make a deep fake, but it's kind of a funny deep fake and it doesn't make people feel weird. And I literally record my screen, Coach Jay, because people always show you the output, but they never show you the dirt of like how to make the stuff, right?
Right.
They are, oh, look at this. It's a wonderful product and it's done. Well, I tear it apart so that people can see how it moved and how it feels. And almost every time, I just did a keynote at a steel pipe distributor's annual meeting. And I asked people, hey, how many people in the room have used AI in some capacity at work? And literally four people raised their hand. I said, okay, cool. We're going to go through this. I record my screen and I show them how to make this sort of deep fake. And it's funny and everyone laughs and it's fun. But then at the end, I say, you know, all of these things that you guys are seeing is stuff that you guys can do today. And I don't know how it's going to help you, right? I don't work with you every day. But try it, use bits and pieces of it, see if it can augment your own creativity. It's not going to replace you. It doesn't know what you do. It doesn't know how you do it. It doesn't know your individual approach. It doesn't know that you call the same client every day at 9 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month to check in with their grandma because, you know, you care about their family. AI is not going to do that, right? It's not going to win that customer for you or from you on and on. So the ability to understand how it works and not just see the polished end of it, which is what most people want us to see. Oh, look, here's a picture of, you know, this deep fake and it looks amazing, like the real thing. Well, show me how you got there. And it's much like, you know, a teacher asking you to show your math, right? Because you kind of put in the answer, right? The answer is 96. Well, how did you get there, right? Shows that you know and have a knowledge of that journey. And that journey, Coach Jay, will change forever. Right now, that journey has AI inserted in and we get some kind of output. But in a couple of years, it's going to be something else. And then in a few more years, it'll be something else. So I want people to learn how to embed that creativity tool, if you want to call it that, into their process so that when the next tool comes along that's from the wonderful people in Silicon Valley that will make sure that we never drive again because we have Uber and Lyft is, you know, out, people can then take pieces of it and use it in their day-to-day environment.
That's awesome. His name is Nir Bashan. Never drive again. Okay. Yes. Nir Bashan, the book entitled The Creator Mindset. It's brilliant, but what else would you expect? So is the author. He's brilliant too. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey folks, Epic Physical Therapy, my physical therapist, I think this should be yours too, by the way. Their facilities offer the most advanced top of the line equipment, including the Ultra G anti-gravity treadmill, Normatec compression sleeves, and Game Ready. That is just a few. They are trained and certified in the most comprehensive cutting edge treatments available, including blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, and that's just a few. Listen, when you're looking for your epic relief, epic recovery, epic results, don't look any further. Go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. Linda Craft Team Realtors. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you're in the Research Triangle Park, that's Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and you are a real estate professional, I'm going to tell you right now, Linda Craft Team is looking for you. They're hiring right now for the best professionals. If you want to work with the experts who have been at the top of the game for 39 years, and they have Craft University where they do in-house training that they lead personally, something that we rarely find. The costs are nothing for you to be there. There's no table desk costs. There's no franchise fees that you have to worry about. Check out Linda Craft Team Realtors if you're ready to hang your license somewhere where you're going to belong and where you're going to make a difference. That's right. Just go to lindacraft.com and check out. Join the team and check us out. lindacraft.com. All right, we're back here with Nir Bashan. We're going to make a little change. We're going to have a little fun with Nir because Nir has speaks all over, and he's been doing it. And he's, like I said, he's a brilliant, brilliant speaker. And I know, Nir, that you get some questions that come up during your talks throughout. So I thought we're going to depart from the, not really depart from the book, but as part of the book, I thought we would finish the show this way. And that is, let's take some of the questions that you get and have you answer. So what is one of the most, what is the most commonly asked question to you when it comes to the creator mindset and creativity? What's the number one that you tend to get?
The number one question I get is that, hey, I'm not creative. So how is this relevant for me? I don't run websites and stuff like that. And the answer is that we are all creative. We just embrace different levels of it, and we need to implement the practice of creativity in our day to day. That's kind of the most common question. The second most common question one that I get is I do a lot of financial services is how much is this going to cost?
Of course it is. Right. Okay.
Like how expensive is this? And you know, the manufacturing people are like, great, Nir, we love creativity. Do we have to buy a new piece of really expensive machinery?
Right.
Like, what do we have to buy here? And the answer to that is that there is no expensive piece of machinery. It's all in your own mind, man. It's free. It is literally the best price that anything could ever be. It is the investment that you make in yourself and in your own education. Mm-hmm. And your ability to solve problems becomes completely different than everyone else's just because you're paying attention to a part of the brain, a part of our thinking that nobody ever pays attention to. It's just right there. It's the lowest hanging fruit that you could possibly have. Just clip it and take it. Implement some of these tricks and tips into your day-to-day to become more creative. And then the last one I get is, you know, great, like we're just going to hire this out. Like, I work with smart people. Trust me. Like they go, they get it, and they're like, okay, cool. This is great. We're gonna hire somebody. We're gonna outsource this. It's gonna be great. You know, we get great rates in the Philippines, and like we're just gonna put a bunch of people on it. It's gonna be great. We're gonna get to work, and someone else is gonna do it, right? And like, no, right? No, you can't outsource creativity right. just because you guys have a really good affiliate in a different country that's doing really great things for you. That's wonderful. But the bones and the meat of that creativity has to come from you. It is that Warren Buffett moment, you know, of just doing it after years and years and getting better. It's Linda Kraft who's putting together real estate portfolios and dealing with transitions that have given, you know, that ability to solve problems. It takes some time. It takes an approach. It takes right. some wisdom behind it. And what we need to do is have that same sort of amount and approach to ourselves and not try to offsource it to someone else. And that's how we become more creative.
You know, what's interesting here is you wrote in chapter 7, which is titled A World That Can Be, Not a World That Is. You said we spend so much time trying to control outcomes, which is interesting that people are want to control the outcomes, right? So let's hire it and maybe we can fix the outcome. That we leave little time for something new and fresh to happen. And here's what you say next. A study in Psychology Today said that 80% of our daily thoughts are negative thoughts. We use words such as no, can't, won't, not. And you say we need to practice words like yes, maybe. Let's see where this goes. How does negativity impact our creativity?
It's an excellent, excellent question. Negativity is a instant killer of all creativity. So you can't be creative and innovative in a negative environment. Mm. We need to begin to start changing the way that we approach words in order to become more creative. So here's another really great tool. Right. Let's say you're sending emails out. Right. And you're like me. You get a lot of emails. So you got to get them out quickly. Please make sure that proposal goes out. Thank you. And B. Right. I send that out. And that's perfectly fine if you want to stay uncreative. But if you want to be really creative, you take a moment. You look. Oh, this is from Shelley Smith. Shelley Smith. We worked together 2 years ago at this company, and she's a wonderful human being. And I remember that her son's in Little League, right? She's really proud of it because he's doing really well. And so you say hi, just take a minute, time out. Just time out, right, from your crazy busy day. Just take a minute out and address Shelley. Hey, Shelley, hope you're well. How is your son doing? Is he still doing really good at Little League? Are things progressing on that end? I would love to hear how that is going. And then you say, hey, we'll get you the proposal next week. And, you know, in you change these sort of negative, like, quick, hey, give me the proposal and that kind of thing to can you please, we would love, and all of these things. Now, you might say, hey, Nair, that's just rosy language. Who cares? Send a quick email because she's busy too. But I would argue that what happens is you send this nice email and then she goes, oh, yeah, you know, I did talk to Nir about that. He's doing great. And by the way, his coach is now so-and-so, and he runs this department at this company, and they would love to have you come and talk to them about creativity, right? You make your own connections. You make your own luck, Coach Jay. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it. And a lot of people are hesitant, or they don't want to do it, or they don't know how. But choosing our language and being very particular about positivity instead of negativity instantly brings creativity to you. It's like a magnet, and it just draws in creative potential. Mm. Now, we've studied this, and I thought for sure the English language is a negative one because there's so many words that are negative, you know, opposed to positive words. And there is roughly, in the English language, a 6-to-1 ratio of negative to positive words. I think that's crazy. Wow. So for every, yeah, so for every, you know, word like good or great, there are 6 words that are negative for every 1 positive word in the English language. Wow. And I got the research team involved, and I said, okay, cool. It's because English, right? Comes from England. England is kind of a miserable place, right? It rains all the time. Fish and chips are gross. They're soggy, right? It's got to be something like that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But so, you know, you figure it's probably – and so we had the research team look, and all over Earth, there's between a 4-to-1 and a 20-to-1 ratio of negative to positive words. It comes from 50,000 years ago when it was like more efficient to be negative and say, don't eat that red grape, you're going to die, right? But it's still in our sort of day-to-day culture. But we can make a choice to transcend that instantly by just saying, hey, you know, thank you, Shelly, for sending this over and taking just one moment to recognize a human being. Hope you're well. Hope everything is going great. If you know something personal about them that is in some way meaningful, put it in the email. Hope everything is going good with that project that you were doing, you know, last time we talked. Just take a minute to be a proper human being. And when you take a minute to give people a little bit of attention, a little bit of a positive spin on things, you generate instant creativity.
That's beautiful. I know we got a few minutes left here, but I can't end the show without talking about this. And it comes from part 3 of the book, Using the Creator Mindset, and Creativity's Unlikely Personality Traits. And it's humor, empathy, and courage. And they are so unlikely personality traits of creativity. And so maybe if you could, why humor, empathy, and courage become the personality traits that can help us with our creativity?
I think recognizing that the folly of the human condition and what we aspire our whole lives to do and can walk out the house and get hit by a bus 10 seconds later, that to me is hilarious. And people stress out every minute of their days worrying about, oh, you know, did I handle that phone call right? Or am I going to get promoted? And they're missing the gosh dang, you know, forest for all the trees, right? And we have to start to look at our lives in a bit of a different way, with a bit of humor, with a bit of self-directed humor, that maybe our endeavor is not the end-all be-all. When I published this book, it's a top 100 nonfiction book of all time. Mm-hmm. It just got this wonderful, wonderful accolade. I was like, oh, I've got to be perfect, you know? And there's spelling mistakes in the book. And I got really upset. I called the publisher. I was like, guys, how did there spell? You're a McGraw-Hill. Like, you're the top 5. And they're like, there's spelling it in every single book ever. They're like, pull some of the books off your bookshelf. I'm like, no way. And I look at it. And yeah, every single book has some errors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single book. The point is, we gotta look at ourselves with a little bit of humor, right? I could have looked at it in a funny way and said, hey, you know, it happened, move on with life, which is way better from a psychological standpoint. Or, you know, I chose the wrong route, which I got upset and, you know. So that's how humor is really important. It's good to look at ourselves in a different way. Empathy is one of the trademarks of human interaction, right? And being able to be empathetic with one another, with what it is that we do on a day-to-day basis, gives us the ability to be human. And that communication is incredibly important. Finally, courage. We have to take a risk on a creative idea. If you are using positive language, if you are scheduling me times in your day-to-day work, you're going to come up with ideas. But ideas by themselves are just not enough. We got to execute them. We got to go and do them. And that is incredibly intimidating. That's beautiful. Need the courage to go out there and say, you know what? I will try that idea. I will go and try to do this one thing. And when we have that kind of courage, we change the world.
That's awesome. Brother, we've done an hour. It has gone so fast. It always does when I'm with you. I could sit at your feet all day and listen to you. I really could. And I know my listeners could too. You've been great, as always. Would you tell people how they can get a hold of you and whoever wants to go, how can they get a hold of Nir Bashan if they want more information on the book, sure, on speaking, whatever it may be?
Sure. Google my name. It's NIRBASHAN. There's 3 of me in the entire world. So really easy to find. My website is neerabishan.com. The book is called The Creator Mindset. It's a McGraw-Hill release. It's in Amazon, books on Books a Million. It's all – it's in Barnes & Noble. It's in every store. It was published a few years ago. It's still there. It's selling really, really well. I get emails from people across the country, across the world, asking questions. Go ahead. Contact me. I would love to hear from you. Say, hey, you heard me on Coach Jay and you have a question. I'd love to engage with you, answer those questions, and be of service.
That's awesome. Thank you. Stay with me, brother. We're end the show here. Hey, folks, listen, by the way, great show with Nir, wasn't it? I mean, didn't you just enjoy it?
I love it.
I mean, James Powers just wrote in and said, thanks, guys. So, Nir, you made an impact. And folks, you know, listen, this is what how we end the show every week. It's just, you're in control of three things: your attitude, your effort, and your resiliency. I know that things can be difficult. I know that things can be troubling. But the fact of the matter is you still have control of your attitude. You choose it, right? And we just heard that, you know what, we often go negative, but you could choose a positive attitude today, and that can change things. Your effort is tied to your excellence. How excellent do you want to be today? And then you know what? We all get knocked down. We all get punched in the gut or knocked in the teeth. But it's up to you to get back up again. I can promise you, if you keep going, it's going to change. Keep it a loop. Attitude, effort, resiliency, and make it happen. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest. It's going to be another great show. As I say to you all over the world, you had a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube, wherever you listen to us on a podcast. You know what? Write us a positive review. For all of you watching on DBTV, thank you so much. And wherever you are in this country, and as I say to you all over, and that is this. Ciao, everybody.
Things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction. A new direction. Oh. A new direction. A brand new day. A new direction. Things are gone.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.